Okay, gonna get started with the episode here in just a moment. I want to first off tell you about Law Chevrolet and Buick in Boonville, Indiana, sales and service center. Steve Law, a great guy, and he runs the place, an awesome race car driver himself. They will help you out with all of your vehicle needs, whether it's a new or used Chevrolet or Buick. They have a vehicle for you and your family. Some of the safest, best cars on the road, and they have some of the best deals on them there. And if you need any service items tended to on your vehicle, then make sure you have Law Chevrolet handle all your service needs as well, because they'll be there to make sure that your car gets done the right way the first time. Thanks to Law Chevy again for helping us out here on Dialed In, and make sure whenever you go there, you tell them who sent you and tell them that you heard it on Dialed In.
Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2, 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon, 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
All right, we're back, and we're back together, episode number 43 of Dialed In with Jake and Zach. And Zach, it's good to have you back, buddy, but how was vacation?
Man, it was awesome. I had a great time down at Gulf Shores with the family, and took the boys down there, and we basically went from beach to pool to beach to pool. About the entire time we were there, we were staying right on a place that was right on the beach, same place where my wife Kristen and I got married. We took pictures at the same beach where we got married. And we stayed in the same condo place that we stayed in then. So it was awesome. Lots of good food and great weather, and just good to kind of forget about work, forget about racing, and just kind of reset. So glad to be back. We got a good episode this week. You know, I think we got a good guest for you guys with Jay Oakley, who's already locked up the JEGS Super Quick Series championship. Yeah, basically I've just been getting everything ready, man. The next 4 or 5 weeks is going to be at least 2 days, at least Saturday and Sunday, almost every weekend, if not Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So I was out, you know, changing oil on the car today, and basically putting a wrench and on about every, you know, everything I could find to try to tighten up and just get ready for the long haul. It's hard to believe it's already August, ain't it, Jake?
Yeah. Yeah, we're sitting here August 3rd when we're recording this, and yeah, you're right. It seems like the month of August has kind of been the hotbed for big money races back to back to back, and kind of a testament to, you know, how the big money scene is right now. It's every weekend once it's the dry months, quote unquote, are supposed to be, as I'm sitting here watching it rain in Stanton, Michigan. Yeah, I mean, everybody hops on the opportunity to throw an August event on, because usually it's pretty dry. You're going to what, Montgomery, and then
Ohio, Montgomery, your race, and the after that will be Labor Day, right? The weekend after your race, so then that'll lead us in probably Benton that weekend. I-57 drag strip for the Mega Bucks, and then the weekend after that is Memphis, which I'm not sure whether I'm going to go to that yet or not. Well, I guess we'll see how the first 4 or 5 weeks before that go, but it's been a stretch I've been looking at for a while in the season, looking forward to it. You know, like I said, the car's been pretty good. Got to fix my tubes. I busted a tube, as I talked about before the door car race, so I just got another one in today. For me, anyway, my car seemed to do better with them in there. Wasn't so much liking the hot track without the tubes in the tires, which I may be able to work out, but I'd rather just put tubes back in them. So, Jake, tell us what are you wheeling at Stanton?
I've got the dragster again. I've got the world-famous Slimer. Yeah, that's what we got up here. I was telling you before we started recording, it's kind of making me mad that it won't run anything but like a 487. And right. It cools down like 10, 15 degrees, and it still won't run like but 487. So, yeah.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of a mental game where it's like, all right, it's going to pick up here, and you got to tell yourself, it's actually not. Dropped both entries round 5 on Friday's 10K, and I think I made it to round 4 or 5 on Thursday's 10K, and I had one in there. I don't remember what I did. I think I bumped a tooth out red. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've actually been letting go pretty good for the most part, just missing it here and there, but I've been good when I needed to be, and I got a couple breaks, so
yeah,
you got to have those. Right?
I was watching last night's race, not as it happened, but a little bit later, and all door car final was a great final. Aaron Vale was runner up. I'm trying to remember the name of the winner. Kobe White, I think. Anyway,
Height,
I missed it.
Height or something Height. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple 660 door cars out there running for 10 grand was awesome to see. So, but yeah, I mean, I guess that, that basically takes care of our intro for episode 43. What we're going to do, and I also, real quick, before we lead into our next segment, I do want to say thanks to Sebring Performance. They definitely do an awesome job with my carburetor, and I am ready to get on this stretch and see what we can do, hopefully go a lot of rounds. So we are going to hear first from Luke Bogacki with This Is BracketRacing.com, and then go into the results section, and right after that, we'll lead into Jake's interview with Jay Oakley, this year's Jake's Super Quick Series champion.
Yeah, and on that interview, it's kind of, audio's not the best, but it was pretty good. I kind of recorded it rolling down the road in my motorhome, and my dad was driving. I was sitting back here in the back, and I think it was all right for what it was, but Zach's going to love me for editing it and all that good stuff. But there's a couple of times the cell service dipped in and out because I do it off my phone hotspot. So. But yeah, Jay's interview's a good one, and it's kind of, you know, a kid that really deserves it. He's a good, hardworking, honest 21-year-old kid that won a super quick championship, and now he doesn't really know where he's going with it next. He wants to win another one, of course, but he'll kind of talk about that. So, yeah, this is BracketRacing.com's Luke Bogacki.
What's up, Dialed In listeners? This is Luke Bogacki for This Is BracketRacing.com. Do you drive the finish line more like Ray Miller or more like Ray Charles? Not to worry, we can help. There are two keys to success at the finish line. The first is understanding. The second, execution. One feeds the other. Seat time alone isn't the answer unless you know exactly what it is that you're trying to accomplish and why. What we do on This Is Bracket Racing feeds into the understanding element, and understanding is what makes execution possible. One of my favorite training resources on thisisbracketracing.com is a video that we put together on working on the finish line weakness. Exclusively for you, Dialed In listeners, we're giving away access to that for free. To take advantage, visit thisisbracketracing.com/dialed stripe. Again, thisisbracketracing.com/dialed for the Dialed In podcast. Stripe, all one word. Dialed, stripe.
All right, results section for episode 43. Going to keep it short and sweet for y'all this week. We're going to talk about the Cars Protection Plus 660 Top Bald Nationals. Was presented by GOTIS Trucking, LLC. And on Friday, it was Chris Baer in the pick-em-up truck, beating Marco Abruzzi in the pick-em-up truck in the final round, picking up the first 15K check of the weekend. Turned around on Saturday, and I'll be darned if Chris Baer didn't do it again. He is running amok on him, and he picked up another 15K win on Saturday, this time in the dragster. And the runner-up was Kevin Romeo in a sweet-looking Chevy 2, running 540. So, and on Sunday, the last race of the triple 15K was Nick Craig taking the win over Matt Pelias. That's what I'm going to go with. So, way to go, Nick Craig. And shout-out to you guys for stopping Chris Baer from going 3-for-3. But huge shout out to Chris Baer for winning 2 out of the 3 of the weekend. What a giant accomplishment for Chris, and who we've had on the podcast before, and is an awesome dude. So that's going to do it for the results section this week.
So on the phone today is the 2019 Jake's Super Quick Series champion, recently crowned last weekend at Kilcare Dragway, where he kind of just wore them all out, like a semifinal the first day, and he ended up cashing in the second day. And you got to, it's been a long time coming for you in the Super Quick Series, because you've won a few races here and there, but this year you turned it on. Like, you went all Philip Oakley, like, 2005 on them.
Yeah, the Super Quick Series has really been one of my goals for a long time, and this year we ended up getting my first win, and we've been on a roll here.
Yeah, and I know your dad's been doing a lot of top dragster racing and stuff. He doesn't hang out with the chumps in Super Quick too often, but... you know, I know for one, there's probably not a bigger fan of yours than Flip himself, but what's it like to have that guy in your corner, like day in and day out? You know, I know he's hard on you, know he's pushed you to do better and be better, but what's it like having him, you know, with you when you roll the car out of the trailer and, you know, a game plan going into race day?
I know I've got the best coach on my side. Even when we're not at the racetrack together, you know, I'm on the phone with him pretty well every round, telling him what we did and what we're planning on doing for the next round. So it definitely helps having him in my corner.
Yeah, and there's not a guy really that will go to bat for you like your dad. You know, he's one of the most, I mean, not outspoken, but if he feels strongly about something, you're going to know about it. And if you don't know about it, it won't take long to figure it out. And I think that, you know, that goes a long way, because I see that a lot in you, and I see that a lot in, you know, everything that you all are doing right now, because you started a modified program in Oakley Performance there. You know, you started a little bit of the top dragster, a lot of it of the top dragster stuff, really. It's kind of picked up for you guys daily, day in and day out at Oakley Motorsports. What exactly do you do there?
I pretty much stay in the assembly room. Me and Dad are the only guys that work in the assembly part of the shop, and we take a lot of pride in what we do, and we have our hands in every piece that goes out of there. That's over the past year or two, you know, I've kind of moved into that direction as far as from in the shop. So, and I take a lot of pride in what we do, and so does Dad, and that's what we got.
So, your dad wasn't in KillCare, was it? He was back home, right?
Actually, what happened was Dad stayed at work till about lunchtime. Maybe a little after on Friday, and me and Mom and Allie left and took the rig up there, and we went run Super Pro, and about 20 minutes after the Winter Circle picture, he pulled in.
So you usually, sometimes you roll to the track with Lester Atkins, right? And Lester, he works for you guys in the winter time when he's not doing the farming thing, if, you know, if that's what he says he's actually doing.
Right.
Doing Andy's wish list, but that's another guy that, you know, I know he's had a lot to do with your racing career and your development as a driver, because, you know, people might have forgot, but Lester's really good at that.
Yeah, I get to talk to Lester quite a bit, and, you know, when you get to be around those guys a lot, you just got that they race with all the time. And right. Even when, like this weekend, when I had to line up against Lester.
Lester wasn't going to cut you any breaks, was he?
No, and I knew I had to be good.
Whether you had a championship on the line or not.
No, and to be honest, that's the way I wanted it. I didn't expect anybody to do me any favors. Wouldn't want it that way. And to be honest, I had complete confidence when I lined up against Lester. I had been on a roll on Friday night, and Saturday we were doing good too. And just went up there and I missed the tree a little bit, and missed the dial, and if you miss the tree and miss the dial, Lester's going to get in on it. So, and that's what happened. I was 20, he was 15, and I just gave him too much room, and that ended our night, and he ended up winning the whole deal. So.
Yeah, and I think that also goes to a testament of, you know, you and your family. I've seen your dad about rip somebody's head off about people giving each other round wins. So that's definitely not expected out of anybody, and I wouldn't want that way either. Whenever you see a car for a big round like that, what do you do to prepare yourself? You know, is it just business as usual, or is it hey, you know, I got to step it up just a little bit here. I can't be 20, or, you know, do you give yourself any kind of pressure? Because I think you're a person that works a little bit better under pressure.
I try to just be as calm and calm, and collective as I can. To me, if I try to get myself worked up about something, it has never worked out. So I just try to treat every round the same, and go out there, and, you know, I have to lay down the best lap I can no matter what. So I try to treat every round the same, no matter if it's the final round or second round.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you know of the thing called the 31 curse. Are you well aware of that? Because
I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it, and to be honest, I've thought about that, but, you know, growing up, going to the super quick races, you know, I feel like we all have one thing that we want to achieve in a race car, whether it be, you know, some people want to win a 10 grander, some people want to win a Super Comp National Championship. The Super Quick Series was my thing. I wanted to win that. My dad had won it. A lot of the guys I grew up around had won it. And to me, this is a super big deal. And I don't care if it's the 31 comes with a curse or not. It's going to be on the scoop next year.
So as we alluded to a little bit earlier, there's a lot of really, really good racers in Super Quick. I mean, 1 through 32, any of them can cut your head off at any time, but who's that guy that you pull up next to on a weekly basis that chases super quick points that you kind of just pull yourself together and say, all right, you know, I'm going to earn it right here?
You know, I can't pick out one single person that when I pull up beside them,
I know another.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you when you come to Super Quick, Super Quick got this bad rap that, you know, it's just easy. You just show up with a fast bracket car, and if you're any kind of decent racer, you can win. And that's not the case anymore. You know, you got to be on your game every pass. And, I mean, it's a shark pool. You got guys like James Monroe, Jeremiah Hall, the Carmen family, you know, Troy and Shanna Stone are running now, Michael Shelton and his wife. I mean, these are good racers that at any time can send you to the trailer. So I don't think there's any one person that that I don't want to line up beside. I mean, it's all of them.
I agree with that completely, because a lot of those guys that go run super quick, whenever I see them at big money bracket races, that it's just, you know, business as usual for them. And that's like Lester. I mean, he just doesn't ever go out and do the bracket race hardly anymore for anything, you know, less than $10,000. And he goes down to freaking South Georgia and what did they do, to win the $5,000 or the $10,000 warm-up race?
Right.
Just, yeah, it happens, part of it.
Yeah, and it's a little intimidating when you when you've been in a shop a couple weeks prior, and you look up and see all of his checks surrounded on the walls that anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000, and then you got a stage up next to him, you know, a couple weeks later. So there's nobody that is a duck in Super Quick.
So when all this is said and done, you know, you've won the Super Quick Championship in year what, 21?
21, yep.
Super Quick, you're kind of in the same boat as Devin Eisenhower at Continental Championship at 21 years old. You know, what's next for you? I mean, obviously, I know you want to win another one, but where do you go from here? Do you want to go after top dragster stuff? Do you want a super comp? Where do you want to go?
To be honest, I've thought about that a lot over the last couple of days, and it truly hasn't sunk in yet that we've won the championship. And to be completely honest, I don't know what's next. That's just, like I said, that was my one thing. That was something I wanted to get done, and to have it. I did not expect to already have won that championship by now, and I don't know what's next. I mean, I'm sure we're going to keep running the Super Quick. I think the last race we had 19 engines in the field, so I got to go there and support the customers, and I really enjoy the atmosphere at the Super Quick races. I would like to go do a little more bracket racing than we've been doing. Other side of that is I like doing the Super Comp stuff too, so I don't know. We'll just kind of play it by ear, and we're gonna do a lot of racing next year.
Yeah, and kind of tell us a little bit about your current combination. I know this is your time to shine on all the products and companies that help you guys out at Oakley Performance. But tell us about the car you got now, and I think it's what, a nitrous car?
No, I don't have any kind of power adder on it. It's a 2011 American chassis. It's got a 632 that we built. It's a steel block, conventional profiler heads, stainless valves, one carburetor. Makes right around 1200 horse, and I can go pretty well 445 to 455, you know, depending on if it's March or middle of July, you know, no matter where we go. Saturday night at Kilcare, it was going upper 40s, and we've got a lot of those engines out there. Darren Keener was in the final of both races this weekend. He's got a twin to my engine. Dylan Winters has pretty much a twin to it. We've probably got 15 of them out there, and you know, James Schoen, Lester's got one. They're really working good and proving to be a good fast bracket super comp combination.
I need to come see the 632 I got. I'm driving right now. I can go 484 like in mine shaft conditions.
Is that right? Well, we need to get that up to like a 454.
It's a 632 with AFR head and steel block and stuff. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong here. Something, and I know, you know, you kind of got to look back at, you know, your dad's a prior Super Quick champion, right? And you've got Jeremiah Hall, Christopher Carrico, James Monroe, James Schoen, Scott Carmen. I mean, you've joined a long list of people that waited, you know, 10, 15, 20 years into their racing career to do that. You know, you just did it at 21. I mean, you were the young punk kid that, you know, ran around with those guys pit areas when you were younger. You know, now you're popping the floor with them, so that's definitely something to be proud of for sure. But my real question is what's it like to be the second best driver in your relationship?
The second best driver in my relationship, huh? Well, I don't know about that. We'll have to see. We'll find out here about that in about a year or two, I imagine. We'll see who the best one is.
Yeah. So kind of give me you know, a round this year that kind of just started setting the tone for your year. I know you kind of started turning it on at the beginning of the year, but is there a race or a round that kind of gave you a little bit of momentum and kind of just put you on a roll? Because you've won, what, two or three races this year so far?
No, I think it's probably more like six or seven. I mean, to be honest, it was from the first race we went to. We wasn't even sure we were going to assemble my car this year. We had Dad's new top dragster combo going. We talked about me running 8 mile stuff with it. And because we're just so busy at the shop, we don't have a lot of time to run two cars anyway. But about 2 weeks before Gateway Super Quick, we started ordering parts for my engine. And the week before, on that Thursday, my crankshaft got done at Cali's, and we next day aired it for Friday. Started building the engine. We painted the block Saturday night, and we built the engine on Sunday. Dynoed it middle of the week, put it in. The car got done or Thursday night at 11 o'clock. Might have been Friday night. I can't remember if Gateway was a Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday. But, Friday night at 11 o'clock, my graphic guy put the last sticker on it, and we loaded it up in the trailer and got the Gateway at, I think, 3 in the morning, unloaded. First shot off the trailer, we went 450 with a 3 with a brand new combination. Qualified second.
I could hear your dad going, Oakley Motorsports right there.
Yeah, that's right. And we went and run it up that night, and I was pretty bummed out that night because that Wally was something I had been longing for. And we got within one round of it, and I had Mitchell Carter in the final round. The track came around, my car picked up, did not know it was going to pick up that much, and he pretty much gave me a driving lesson, dropped me on my head, and sent me to be 200s under, so I was pretty bummed out, and the next day we just started over and took it one round at a time, and next thing I knew I was in the winner's circle, and to be honest, from there, I mean, we went to Indy super quick, first round, made a rookie mistake, my shifter solenoid locked up. I wasn't paying a lot of attention. I had my guy 400s on the tree. About the time I start getting ready to back into him, I hear the car hit the chip. I'm thinking it broke an input shaft. I lift. He goes by, I lose. We get back to the trailer, see that it was a shifter solenoid. So I jump in Super Pro, and 9 rounds later at Indy, we're in the Super Pro winner circle. So it's just started out good, and we've never really lost the momentum.
Yeah, and the 2 or 3 wins was on the Super Quick side with those references. And I know you won quite a few Super Pro races here and there, but I didn't know how many Super Quick Wallys you had just this year.
Just 2 Super Quick Wallys this year. We've been to 3 finals and won 2 of them.
So there's one race left at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis, and you don't even have to show up. I mean, I know you're going to, but you don't have to go. And that's, you know, that's got to feel pretty good knowing that, you know, the 11 o'clock Friday night in the shop paid off.
Yeah, and to be honest, I just, like I said, this whole deal hasn't even sunk in yet, because I don't even know when the last time that, I mean, that's one of the things with the Super Quick. It always comes down to Indy, and there's always 3 or 4 dudes to have a shot to win it at Indy, and to have it sealed up, you know, before we even go, I can't even really wrap my head around it. I mean, we're going to go and run the shootout, and hopefully have some luck in that and maybe bring home that win. That's something I've been looking forward to. But, and I just want to say, you know, if you look at the guys behind me in points that were going into Killcare, I mean, if you go into a 2-day weekend and you got James Monroe in second place, that's not a very comfortable feeling when you know that
it's called killer.
Right. You have a bad weekend. He's definitely going to have a good one, and I could leave there. You know, he had the opportunity to win 10 rounds that weekend. I fully expected him to win a lot of them, and because I've watched him from, you know, I can always remember James Monroe. He's won everything in a fast bracket car you can win, from top dragster, super quick, Jake's All-Stars. And so I was pretty stressed going into Killcare, and I'm not sure what happened to James. He went out first round on Saturday, and he didn't even get to run on Sunday, but we capitalized on that, and here we are.
And so kind of reverting back to the Oakland Motorsports side of it, you guys started a dirt program about, what, 2.5 years ago now?
Yeah, I'd say so, 2.5, 3 years ago.
Just like it was just before y'all moved shops, if I remember right.
And, right.
That thing took off. You know, of course, you know, Chad Mullins kind of had the game there for a long time. I think his name's Josh, right? Your guy?
Yep, Josh Harris.
He had the Gateway race locked down before he got drove over and stuff. But, you know, that's something that, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, to be a drag racing engine builder and hop over and say, hey, I can build you one bad to the bone small block and it's going to outrun everything y'all have ever seen. And it normally you give your dad that little bit of leeway, he doesn't. He had a little bit of drive and he took off with it.
The dirt racing deal was very important about, you know, if we didn't jump into that deal with Josh, we might not have been near successful. But Josh came to us. He was looking for an engine builder. He knew that we took a lot of pride in what we do and that our passion is winning. We're not just going to give him something and say, call us when it needs freshened up. You know, we were at the racetrack with him trying to develop that combination, and we hit it pretty good the first time, and I think he won like 17 features the first year, and of course last year at the Gateway Dirt Nationals.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that he's got to uphold his side too, you know, just like you would expect anybody you help out in the drag racing world. You know, if they pull up to the starting line every week and, you know, it's got 4 weeks of burnout juice all over it, you know, it's not the MO really. And that's, I know that your dad takes a lot of pride in his work as well as you and everybody else in the shop, but you know, I hope to see everything grow. And I know that the engine program for the drag racing side was busy before, but I mean, it's everywhere you look now. You see Oakland Motorsports black valve covers everywhere.
And as far as the dirt racing stuff goes, I really enjoy the dirt racing stuff, but I don't want to build 100 dirt racing engines a year. I mean, that's not what we're after. We got one combination that we do pretty much, maybe two. We got really good parts in them, and guys have had good luck with them. But drag racing is my passion, and that's what we're going after. And we've had so many new customers come to us this year. It's unreal. And I think that people are seeing that we're at the racetrack, we're there to help, and we're not just, like I said, you know, a call us when you need it freshened up kind of shop. We're there for you every step of the way, and that's what we like to be.
And I know that you were somewhat flirting with the dirt racing side there before you got all full-blown drag racing. How close were you to hopping in a modified or something?
I was actually getting ready to drive a street stock car. We were all amped up about it, and it just kind of fell off. The guy ended up, he had a car that he was going to let me drive, and he had an opportunity to sell it, and he sold it, and that's when I really jumped in feet first, wanting to do a lot more drag racing. I raced juniors from when I was like 10 to 14, and I had raced a couple times after I had got my license in a big car, a couple times a year from when I was 16 to 18 or so. And last year, I finally got to race a little bit more, and of course this year, and I'm glad this is the direction we went for sure.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about somebody running over you usually.
Right, nobody else tearing my stuff up except me.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that part too. Kind of going to wind down here a little bit, but if you have anybody other than Oakley that you want to thank, you know, this is your time to give them the floor. I know that your dad has a lot of companies that you two have on board to help you guys out. This is your time to let them shine a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've got so many people on board with us that help us. First of all, Texas Roadhouse. They've been with my dad for, I think, this year is 19 years. I think that says a lot about both sides. You know, they are Texas Roadhouse. People don't realize how good of a company they are, how good the people are. I mean, as far as doing stuff for our local Texas Roadhouse is always having 10% goes to a family in trouble this week, or 10% goes to a local firefighter that was in a car accident or something like that. And they are so people driven that it is unreal. But even after Texas Roadhouse, I mean, World Products, PBM, Urson, they help us out a ton. APD Carburetors, Diamond Pistons, Trend Performance, Push Rods, Wrist Pins. There's so many people to help us, and there's no way I could name them all, but they all play a huge part in what we do, and there's no way I could thank them enough.
Yep, hit the nail on the head right there. And, you know, that Texas Roadhouse partnership is pretty special because they're very personable people. My grandpa was racing dirt modifieds back in the day. You know, they were their sponsor for 10 or 12 years. And, you know, it was always a handshake deal. It wasn't like we're going to sit down and you must do this, this, and this. It's, hey, you know, you're going to represent us. It's going to be, you know, a professional deal. Here we go. And anybody that doesn't know Philip Oakley, he's a big old boy, and he's a big country boy. So if you're going to have a Texas Roadhouse sponsorship, that's a guy you want to give it to.
Right. In 19 years, I mean, that's almost unheard of for a racing sponsorship. I mean, I can't think of, you know, I can't think of any off the top of my head. So it's been very special for us, for sure.
Yeah, I think, like, Force with Castro, like, just about that long, you know. That's a lot. Right. Saying a lot. So anyway, I don't know how many podcasts you listen to, but we're going to do a little this or that. So I'm going to give you two options. You just got to pick one, kind of like a little speed thing. And they're not all going to be racing related. So, all right. And these are completely off the top of my head, so I might have a little gap in my words here or my questions. But first things I can think of, around the house, tennis shoes or sandals?
Tennis shoes.
T-shirts or cutoffs?
T-shirts.
Building big blocks or small blocks?
Big blocks.
If you had to choose a centrifugal power adder or a roots blown supercharger?
Centrifugal.
You had to say that, right?
Yeah. No comment.
It's not Pro Charger, it's Vortec.
That's right. Watch your mouth.
Yeah, I got yelled at the Chicago National for that one. All right, here's this one. This one, right? Is Allie sitting around you anywhere?
Not right now.
All right. The Super Quick Championship or Allie? Which one has to go?
I would definitely pick Allie first.
Smart man.
And before we go further, I do need to say something about that. I was introduced to Allie last year at PRI show, and we hung out the week after, and you know, the rest is history. She's been there for every win and every loss, and if I'm in the water box, there's blonde girl sitting on the wall pulling me in the water, so I can't thank her enough. She's always there to help me do whatever I need on the car, and she likes winning just as much as I do, and she played a big part in this deal too, so.
You gotta get a little bit of Ken's Tory out of her, but she's all right sometimes.
That's right.
2% milk or whole milk?
Whole milk.
Hoosiers or Mickey Thompson's?
Mickey Thompson's.
Perfect reaction time or dead zero?
Perfect.
You can't really beat that. You can be 80 and dead zero, no good.
That's right.
Bump down or bump up?
I try not to use either. I guess bump down.
We're going to get this here. Left lane or right lane?
Right lane.
450 in the eighth or 610 in the quarter?
450 in the eighth.
2020 Super Quick Championship or 2020 Division III Super Comp Championship?
Take the Super Comp.
Even though it's a divisional, huh?
That's right. Yep. It's just right. Be something different.
All right. Now I'm going to put you on the spot right here. We're going to go with Lester or Scott Carmen?
In what?
In a friends category. One buddy. Pick one.
You know I can't do that.
All right, Jay, man, I appreciate it. Sorry for a little bit of scheduling conflict and me trying to do this rolling down the road in the back of my motor. I've never done that before. So congratulations once again. I know it really hasn't set in, but you have done something that 50 other guys have tried to do and cannot do it. Definitely something to be proud of. I know your dad's proud of you. I know your mom's proud of you. I know Allie's proud of you. Hopefully I don't have to see you racing anywhere. I'll see you out like maybe on the street somewhere. Have a good one, man, and congratulations once again. Keep it up. Go win the last two Wally's available.
I'm going to try to do so, and I appreciate you guys having me on, and I know Zach couldn't be here, but appreciate it all.
What's up, Dialed In listeners? This is Luke Bogacki for ThisIsBracketRacing.com. Listen, you have invested a ton of time, energy, resources into your racing operations. You deserve to see a return on that investment in terms of win lights. That's where we come in. Specifically in this day and age of ultra-competitive 8th-mile bracket competition, our cars are far better than we are. I can go dead on. You can go dead on. Seemingly every car at the racetrack can go dead on. The starting line is the biggest variable. In fact, I would argue that it's not close. You need to hit the tree. That matters nearly every round and at every level of competition. I can help. Exclusively for you, dialed in listeners, we're giving away one of our best reaction time trainings for free. It's about determining how tight you can and should set up on the tree to take advantage of your starting line skills while guarding against throwing it all away with a red light. Check it out. Again, it's free at thisisbracketracing.com/dialedtree. Again, that's thisisbracketracing.com/dialed, as in dialed in podcast, tree, all one word. thisisbracketracing.com/dialedtree.
So, Zach, before we begin our InMotion Solutions final round discussion, I've kind of got like breaking news here on the podcast. I will be announcing the NHRA National in Charlotte in October. So there we will see everybody there.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunate enough, I got called back again. So we will be going to ZMAX in October, I think 11th through 13th, and get to
awesome.
Hang out with my NHRA friends.
Congratulations, and looking forward to it. To hearing your work out there. That's awesome that they called you back. Well deserved.
And I think everything's worked out to the point where it'll be Ryan Gleghorn and myself calling the first guaranteed million at Memphis. So I think I got that hashed out with Britt and Slate and Galen. So mm-hmm. Ryan Gleghorn and I are going to team up again. Like, I had a lot of fun announcing the World Footbrake Challenge with him. So it's always fun announcing with somebody that kind of has the same style and the same, you know, the background and mm-hmm. whatnot, even though he's a little bit more hood than I am, it happens. But anyhow, our InMotion Solutions final round discussion is, you've guessed it, house cars. House cars, should they be in a race? Should that be allowed? I mean, you can't really tell somebody it's not allowed if it's their own race or promoting it. My sandbox, I can have whoever I want play in it. But I think you and I can actually take opposite sides on this. I think that you don't really care for them, right? Like, it's not something that you really encourage.
No, I mean, it kind of depends. I mean, there's situations, obviously. I mean, if the driver has helped in some way in promoting the event and has worked out something with the event promoter beforehand, I have no problem with that, you know, whatsoever. I don't consider that a house car if there's something in trade.
We're talking, you promote a race and you call up Chris Bear, a guy that is on fire right now, and say, hey, come race. Everything's on me, but we split it.
Right.
Now, how do you feel about that?
No, not a thing that I would be a fan of, especially, you know, I think when it's used to manipulate the count in the promoter's favor as far as later in the rounds, you know, instead of having 32 cars for that round, you would have 17 or 18 or something like that. You wouldn't have to pay near as many. So that's the way I definitely 100% don't approve, or, you know, in the way that you said. I mean, from a promoter standpoint, I think that their job is to put on the event, and then, I mean, and the racers show up. It's not their job to also try to win the event. You know, it's understandable to try to profit. Of course, we want them to profit, so they keep putting on races. But as far as the purse money goes, I don't see why the promoter should have a shot at it.
And I think the argument that I saw, that the biggest argument was the pressure on the driver to turn on a wind light. And I mean, it's no secret. I've been driving for Victor for a year or so now. And I can 100% tell you that it is absolutely easier to go up there and set up two or one or three and just go out there and try to hit it instead of, you know, I know all your funding and racing comes out of your own pocket. And I know that, you know, sometimes those decisions are made to set up five, six or seven just to make sure that the $300-$500 buyback doesn't happen. And I think that there is a distinct advantage in that. I think there, I mean, I have a guy set up to just chop your head off and you're set up a little bit conservative, just just because it's in the back of your head. I mean, it's completely natural, completely normal. But I think that it most certainly helps knowing that it really doesn't matter if you turn a wind line on or not, round one or round two, however they do the buybacks. So.
Yeah, I see your point. I mean, in a way, though, I try to not race that way. I mean, I just try to put down best I can. If I, you know, I'm trying to set up to get under the guy next to me, I mean, I guess from the standpoint of setting up, everybody's choice how aggressive that they want to set up and whatever their you know, whatever their budget allows. If that allows more red lights than mine, then that is what it is. You know, I'm still gonna, I'll be happy with my results as long as I have a good light and put up a respectable run, you know. But I definitely have also felt the pressure being off. I mean, you know, after winning, like, you, if you win early in the weekend and you've already covered your tab, it's kind of the same thing. But yeah, I mean, like I said, my biggest beef with the house cars is it being used to manipulate the car count late in the round so that the promoter wouldn't have to pay out as much on the payout. I think that's the biggest rub with me on the whole deal, is to just, you know, I mean, have the event and let the cards fall where they may. Let the screwing up the integrity of the race, which is always something I've had to always have a big problem with.
Well, in that sense, if I mean, in that argument, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm not, you know, batting on the other way. But what about the promotions that have a pre-entry limit and it is designed for exactly that? You know, they know they're going to sell out, but they know, you know, it's going to have less than 12 cars at the ladder round.
Right. Right. I mean, that's it. Right. And everybody signed up, you know, like whenever they did the 150, you know, I mean, everybody, you knew what that was. Here's the amount of rounds it's going to take to win, you know, and here's the way that it's going to fall, because this is how many cars are going to show up.
Right. And I don't disagree with that, because it's completely genius. I mean, it's great, great, awesome, intelligent move.
But everybody that paid in knows how many cars are going to be there. So then, you know, wouldn't expect to get there and then have it be different than that either. You know, that should be the count. I mean, obviously you're going to have some attrition. You're going to have, you know, somebody's car's going to break or whatever, but that's just stuff that you can't help.
As far as the house cars go, yeah, it's something that's honestly, I put something out there like, you know, every mainstream Motor Mania race has a house car or 10 or 12. Then I got my, you know, I know Michael Beard's like, hey, no, we do not even one. And, you know, I was kind of loosely expressing that, you know, I'm sure not everybody has house cars, but all of these big races that are paying a whole lot of money have house cars. It's just part of it. And it's part of the game. And you know what, like what I said, it's their sandbox. And if we want to play in it, that's how it's going to happen. And it really doesn't matter to me. I don't really care. It happens. And I just rather not know who it is. You know, that's all. I really don't care. But enough on the house cars. Coming up this weekend, the Super 7 Series in Montgomery, the Todd's Extreme Paint World Super Pro Challenge, the 26th annual World Super Pro Challenge. And it's like a ghost town here, Zach. That's where I'm at right now. And they had 188 entries on a Thursday. And this place used to get like 350, 450 on a regular basis. And I mean, it's two tens, a 50, and a 5 for $500. It's cheap.
Yeah.
But anyhow, they're the car count's down, and you know, the Ledford family said that, you know, they don't want to give up on it, so they're gonna have to kind of restructure a little bit and make sure it's better for next year. But so the World Super Pro Challenge in Stanton, Michigan, Mid Michigan Motorplex, and the Loose Rocker Crew is at Virginia Motorsports Park. The Flat Out Gaskets Colonial Classic going on. It's a 5, 10, and a 5 for like $295, if I remember off the top of my head. That's where I was going to go this weekend before I realized how much closer Michigan really was. So, anyhow, yeah, that's what's up on the docket. I'm sorry for the wonky at times audio with Jay Oakley, but I'm sure Zach will make it sound good. Anyway, I don't know. You're not going anywhere this weekend, right? You're staying home. It's Saturday, so you should be there anyway. Yeah.
This is it. No, literally just going over everything on the car. Like I said, I got to take the wheels back off of it tomorrow and just trying to get ready for this stretch. I'm trying to save my stuff a little bit, honestly, for the races that are going to be paying more coming up or could be potentially life-changing for us. So I want to make sure we're putting our best foot forward when the most money is on the line is the goal right now. So just kind of trying to, it feels weird going 2 weeks in a row without racing, even though last weekend was still a crazy 10-hour drive road trip. So
yeah,
provided some excitement, but this week's nice to just kind of take it easy and reset, and definitely going to be out there Saturday and Sunday next weekend. Hopefully you'll be out there Friday to get a run all three as is the plan. So looking forward to racing on the big stage again, and we'd be doubled at Montgomery, so hoping for good things there. So is that where you're headed as well, or what are you doing the weekend after? You're going to Dragway 42, right?
Yeah, that's the plan, Dragway 42, and I think I'm going to stay home the week after because I kind of have some stuff to prepare for. Anyway, yeah, shameless plug, Working Man's 10 Grand, August 23rd through 25th at Wagler Motorsports Park. We've sold two sets of stickers here in the last, 12 hours, I think. I think one of them was Brian Rockwell and Donald Gertz. I know Zach got those sent out, so sticker program's alive and well, and you turn on a wind light in the final round somewhere, we'll talk about it. Other than that, anything else? I think that's it for me.
Yeah, that covers it all, man. Best of luck to you. I know you said you got two bullets still in for round three, so keep up the good work. Hopefully the weather dries up there and you guys can finish it up, as early as possible. So good luck, and everybody out there, be safe. Thanks for listening. Let me know if you need some stickers, and we will get you hooked up. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Lost Chevy, and this is BracketRacing.com. We appreciate you, and we will talk to everybody next week.
See you in the staging lanes.